Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Interview Behind the Scenes, and this is the Weekend Edition. My name is Michelle Cornwell-Jordan, and I am one of your hosts. Jamie White, my co-host, is joining me this evening. Jamie, how are you?
Hey, how about you? I'm good. I'm kind of like coming out of that nano fog.
Yeah, I know. It's like cotton,
yeah.
You know, pulling away the cotton. You know,
yeah.
Guys, we just participated in Nano, which is NaNoWriMo. You write 50,000 words within 30
mm-hmm.
days. And so Jamie and I were working on that
and
other projects. It was crazy.
Had a lot of words to make up those last few days, that last, like,
yes.
You know, week,
well, everyone,
but,
I've been excited. I've been very excited, Jamie, and I will tell you and all our listeners why. Tonight, we have another contributor from the Single Mama Dating Drama, newly released from Brown Girl Books, joining us. We have author Charlie Marcoli. Charlie, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Hi. Well, we're happy to have you. Very excited. Very excited. Thank you for joining us. And we're looking forward to chatting with you, but we're going to have a quick little message, and then we'll come back and we'll jump right into it. How about that?
Cool beans.
Awesome.
So, welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
I am Charlie Marcoli, mommy, author, educator, motivator, innovator, life renovator.
Very cool. Charlie, I love to always start off with my first question as being, how did you find the writing path? Was this something that you've always wanted to do? Or was this, you know, was this a lifelong dream or a newfound passion for you?
Well, I have been a writer, I know, since elementary school. I still have the certificate from the governor of Texas at the time where we had to write about, the most influential woman in our life. And unfortunately, it wasn't my mother. It was actually her best friend.
Oh,
but
no.
She was,
oh, wow. Charlie.
I know. And when you don't think that your teacher's going to send the essay on to the state, yeah. And so when I get this certificate and this accolade in the third grade, imagine how my mother.
Oh, wow. It's like bittersweet. I'm
like,
sure she was very proud.
But my mother's best friend was so poised, and I love that about her. And sometimes as parents, we laugh at it now because I'm a parent, but sometimes we're so busy with our lives that we don't actually pour into our children the way that we should. Well, my mother's best friend had an older daughter, so she was missing that era, and so she just poured into me. And you shouldn't put your elbows on the table. And, you know, I ended up joining the opposite organization, but she even poured in, like, the sorority life and at a very early age. And so I just kind of loved her. And I know my mother was, like, egg on her face because I received an accolade from the state governor in 1980.
Wow. Well, I'm sure she's very proud of you still. but I'm a mom, and I'm thinking, woo, you know, no. But you're absolutely right, though. You know, I had that similar experience. I mean, I love my mom, but, you know, it was my aunt that was, you know, my confidant a lot, you know, growing up. And you're right. It's just simply as parents, we sometimes, you know, there are a lot of things that parents are trying to do. So, you know, it's thank goodness for those, you know, those trusted adults that are there to help, you know, carry that. I'm trying to make this right for both of us. I just put us both out there. Jamie, I'm just going to pass this off to you because I'm thinking, oh, no, they're going to listen to the show. No, I'm talking about my family. I'm just joking. I love you both.
I think what it is, too. Yeah, I mean, that, you know, we have that fear or a level of respect, whereas
yes.
with another confidant, you can lose that buffer. You know, like
right.
how far is too far with mama? You know, and so I think
right.
for me that's what it was too. It was just
right.
that level of comfort. I didn't want to take a fall from grace either.
Right.
For me. So.
Right. And, you know, and also grew up around a time, you know, where it was, you know, I remember a book called It Takes a Village where, you know, pretty much the neighborhood, I mean, we were very close-knit. And so if I did anything, you know, my mom was going to know because somebody else's mom was going to say, you know, it's just one of those situations.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, here you go, Jamie.
Yeah, it's like it was definitely interesting back then, definitely different back then. It's like...
Well, see,
now, I'm
see,
not
you're
sure if I can even
youngin.
Name anyone that lives near me.
Oh. You're like, I'm not gonna put anything out there. Okay, yeah.
It's like, yeah, that was always like the terrifying, oh, I gotta behave, they might tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, tell us, you know, a little bit about your writing process. Like, where do you like to go anywhere, you know, to write? Do you have anything specific maybe that inspires you?
Well, I do like to leave the city when I write, the city in which I reside in, because the distractions, and there are so many distractors. And some people don't understand the life of an author, like when you really have to sit down and say, I have to complete this goal. And so they'll say, well, let's just go out for, you know, happy hour or brunch. And then before you know it, it's like 2-3 hours later, and that 2-3 wasted hours gone. And so
right.
I do like to get away. When I first really started the writing process to be published, I actually went up in the, I want to say the hill country of North Carolina, in a small little town where no one knew me. And it was just really cute. It was really cute. And that small town feel, and it just allowed my thoughts to just run free in my brain. With single mama dating drama, I'm that girl, like everybody, like Lucy and Miss Charlie Brown, put your 5 cents in, tell me your business, you know, like, and so it's just a conglomerate of some of something and someone else. Like, you might read and say, wait a minute, wait. But I kind of did that one in Alabama. So I step away from Texas as far as possible so no one can find me, see me, and I don't have to answer the phone, you know? So it's just, it's best for me to kind of work in that realm, if that makes sense.
Yep, definitely. And I think, you know, I've spoken to other writers, and sometimes writers just need a time away. You know, the majority of the authors I've met, by nature, they're introverts, you know. And it's just, you know, they do need sometimes that time away and, you know, just to think, just to plot, you know, drink or think about their story or whatever it is. So, no, definitely. Let's chat a little bit about your contribution to Single Mama Dating Drama. Can you tell us about your story and where did the inspiration come from?
Oh, my God. So, Single Mama Dating Drama, first and foremost, let me tell you that I am a social media self-professed guru, and I'm one like surfing, you know, like one of those mornings, Saturday mornings, you wake up early, but you're not quite ready to hit the ground yet, and I happen to look up on the advertisement for Single Mama Drama, right?
Okay.
And
right.
I screenshot it, and I contemplated, like, should I not? Should I or should I not, right? And I'm like, I should. We all have affectionately heard of Victoria and Rashonda. And
yes.
Like, okay, why not? Like, this would be a perfect opportunity. And I just was like, I kind of like rewind in my mind. I think as women, sometimes we don't actually heal. And if we have children, we just kind of pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. And because we don't want our children to see us break, and we don't want our children to see our heads unbowed and bloody from the war. And I replayed some instances in my head that were still haunting me or eating at me because I didn't like the way it ended, or I didn't like what you said, or I didn't like how you treated my son. And so I just kind of burritoed that whole thing and came up with my tax dollars at work. I toyed with the title of it because I wanted it to be catchy. I know that, you know how we pick up books like, you know, the title is like the first thing you see, you know, and I wanted, I mean, I still have the original copies of them in my computer. Well, I was like, I want it to be called this. And Tax Dollars at Work stuck with me because he was a firefighter. And how are their salaries paid? Through our tax dollars. And so I wanted it to kind of like all align and make sense. And that's kind of like where I came up with the story for my tax dollars at work. But it was just kind of like a reminiscing of some hurtful situations that I still can replay vividly, because as authors, we can remember every detail, every line, what you had on. And if it is boring, we know how to spice it up, you know, to make it woo-la-la.
Definitely, definitely. Well, the story itself, what would a reader, what could they expect? When, you know, without any spoilers, just a tidbit of what they could expect when reading your
work. They can expect a woman who's very transparent. I love transparency when I love being open. I know some women are like, what? You know, because when my mom read it, she was like, you should have been gone after day one. You know, but as women, you will see a woman who really believed or had hope because it's written from a divorced standpoint. And I think those are the women that really should share a little bit more of their stories. But we're kind of like the population that's kind of swept under the rug, if you will. And so you will see a woman who is, I don't want to say desperate, but she's hopeful. You know, I hate the word hopeless, because that means you have no hope about it, right? And so she is hopeful that maybe she won't be in this dating game a long time, And just by chance, if she keeps her fingers crossed, he will be the one in everything that he, quote-unquote, claims is what he said he really is looking for, you know?
Okay.
And so
right.
I think a lot of women will be able to relate because we've all worn that shoe, just on different
yeah.
paths. And so I think that you will find, without giving any spoilers, but a woman that is transparent, a woman that is hopeful, and a woman who does not plan to be on that path of dating a long time.
Very cool. That was awesome.
What's one of your, what's like a part in the book, maybe like a favorite bit that kind of sticks out in your mind in that story?
Oh my God, the very end. You know, the beginning, you know, like that anticipation, that's just how life is, though. You know, it's not any fun when a rabbit have a gun. That's what it's kind of like. That's the old African-American proverb. You know, it ain't no fun when a rabbit got the gun. But I was
yes.
desperate. I wanted my character. I am tired of reading stories, too, where the woman is powerless. And so I tend to, like, write a little twist and a different ending. I don't want her to end up in despair. You know what I mean?
Right.
We all, a woman, hear me roar. And so the end, I really appreciate the end. And I was actually pushed to change the ending. Thank you. That's a very good question, Jamie. Rashonda actually emailed me back and told me to kind of, like, tweak and change my ending. Because that was not the original ending at first. And so I like the way that it ends, you know, because sometimes we think that it's all over. And sometimes the ending is really just the beginning of a new chapter. And you find out so much about yourself through your process of healing, you know?
Very cool. Very cool. Now, it seems that you tend, you write mainly the women's fiction area. Do you think that you would ever write in any other genres? If so, which ones? I mean, who are some of your favorite authors? I know, I know Rashonda, and they are my guys. We're speaking of Rashonda Tate Billingsley, and oh my goodness, entire 90s. I mean, my favorite authors. And so it was just, this is an incredible honor to just chat with the authors that are, you know, involved in Brown Girl Books and Veronica, Victoria, Christopher Murray. I've read all their books, literally. I'm not joking. And so they are two of my favorites. But who are some of the, other authors that you read or that have influenced your work? And, you know, what other genres would you write in, you believe?
Well, I love self-help. Self-help is kind of, like, easier to write,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's kind of like your opinion or what you've studied or what you've had
right.
the opportunity to immerse yourself into. So self-help is pretty easy. My favorite authors, when I was also in elementary school, my teacher gave me a poem called Ego Tripping by Nikki Giovanni. And I had the opportunity to explore that poem. And so Nikki became at a very, very early, early age, one of my favorite poets, one of my favorite authors. I love Maya Angelou.
I was going to say Maya Angelou was one of mine, too.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I absolutely love her.
Yes.
And when you really read and like, really dive into one of my favorite books is I Know Why the Caseburg, you know.
Yes. Yes.
And,
yes.
And
I read that when I was 15.
I'm like, oh, my God. Like, and so then you have Alice Walk.
Yes.
I still have the real copy of Color Purple because the movie, you know, you hate when movies come out and then you have the book because they
right, they
change
the cover.
They change the cover, like, wait a
yes.
minute. And you have
I have I love Eric Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. I can't forget my girl Terry McMillan.
Yes.
I follow her on Twitter, and I like her because she's so real. You know, like you have to not be colorful with your verbiage on social media, but she just doesn't care. I love her. She is out there. Her and Victoria both, during that political season, baby, they lit it up and let the world have it. And so I love people that are not afraid to let themselves be who they are. I think I'm starting to get there, but I haven't quite. I'm just kind of sticking my toe into that. I love Sky Banks. She is, you know, a great author as well. You know, Gwendolyn Brooks. So I have so much. Toni Morrison. I have so many people in my library, and you just kind of get a little bit of everything from everybody. Mm-hmm. And you know, if there was any one particular person, I wouldn't be able to just kind of put my hand on it because, you know, you'll start one and then I like, oh, don't judge me. Can I just be real?
Just be real.
Like,
it's okay.
I kind of like a few memoirs and I like a little mess. I have to find out the behind the scenes.
That's nothing wrong with that.
So some of my authors, I don't want to call them favorite authors, but you know, when, you know, Superhead came out with her book, like, okay, you know. So I like a book that I can't put it down. Mama, please don't be mad at me. But one time I was so immersed in this book, it was hard for me to put it down to get dressed for church. I finished it in a day. It was so juicy, and it was about, you know, a character that's on a Real Housewives, and it was like the behind what we don't see behind, you know, the And I finished it in a day because I just couldn't put it down. So, and you know, but I don't want to say she's an author, but I guess she is because she wrote a book and it's published and it's out. So it's I have my classics to go to, but then I like to read other people who are like me, like Brenda A. White and Natalie, you know, Woods LaFall, like who also have these great stories, who's pushing and trudging through the literary world as well.
Very cool. Very cool. A lot of those you name are on the list. That's very cool. Love it.
So we're actually starting to get down on time, so what's something that you would like to say to everybody out there that's listening right now? And where would they be able to connect with you?
Okay. For Valentine's Day, I will tell you, especially if you have children, that love yourself first. I know we say that a lot, but that's one of those things that they did not teach in school. You know, they teach math and arithmetic and adding and, you know, the process of writing and strategies to be successful when you read. But one thing I feel like that they did not teach, they skipped out on, is how to truly love yourself. And so for Valentine's Day and even through Christmas, because I've kind of started this thing that came to me off on Thanksgiving Day called Single, So What, Turn Up, because the holidays, because really we're about to be inundated until maybe about March with engagements, with love in the air, you know, because you have Christmas, and you have New Year's, then you have Valentine's Day. So the season of love is kind of a little, it's elongated. It's not as short as everybody thinks, think it is. And so I've started this Single, So What, Turn Up, giving advice on how to cope with the holidays during during your season of singleness. And so one thing is, especially if you're a parent, you are not a great apparent when you pour into other people before you pour into yourself. And
mm-hmm.
so that's
like
my
that.
Number one, because if you don't love yourself, your children see it. And then at the end of the day, what you're doing is you are already creating in their head what love should look like, what love should be like. And because of that, that kind of inadvertently affects what their relationships will be like when they're older. So before you can invite anybody into your home, into your heart, into your child's life and into yours, I will always say, dissect yourself. Know your self-worth. Know what you like. Know what you don't like. Know what you don't want to accept, and know what you expect, and inspect what you expect at the end of the day. So that would be my number one key advice. I always say start with self.
I love that. I love that a lot. And you're just awesome. I really hope that you would just come back and chat with us and just keep us in the loop on what is happening with any further releases. Where can everyone touch base with you? Grab copies of your book, because you do also have a debut novel, correct? Florist to the Forest?
Yes.
Yeah. could
you
briefly...
that's like a Mary J. album. You remember Mary J.? Like,
I do.
Yeah. I poured my heart and soul into that one, honey. you can find me on the web, www.charliemarcol.com. That's charliemarcol.com. And I am like Master P. I always have a copy in the trunk somewhere. So if you see me, please, may I have a book? My birthday is this month, and I would love for people, that's what I would love as a birthday gift, for you to, you know, purchase one of the copies of the book, support my scribe sisters as well as myself as we're on this journey, because we are best-selling authors.
Well, Charlie, thank you so, so much for joining us. And please, you're welcome back anytime. And just had such a great time. This 30 minutes, it goes so fast, I swear. But thank you so much. Jamie, thank you for hanging out as well. Where can everyone touch base with you?
You're welcome. I have everything linked on my website, jamielwhite.com, JAMIELWHITE.
All right, and there you have it, everyone. Thank you so much for listening and joining us, and we hope that you will go out and show some love to author Charlie Mercole, and also to Single Mama Dating Drama, the newest release anthology from Brown Girl Books. Just stay tuned over the next couple of Fridays. We will have other contributors to the anthology that will come also and chat about their contributions. And we just want to give a huge thank you. Thank you, thank you to Brown Girl Books for just allowing us the honor to host all these awesome writers and find out about their contributions. All right, guys, that is it. We hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Why? We always say it, because you deserve it. Have a good one, guys. Ladies, have a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.